The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. We have reached the second hour of the program. We're 4 hours on the dot from the beginning of the NFL draft. And Kentucky players' names will be heard this evening. And I know that brings a smile to the face of our next guest, Coach Mark Stoops of the University of Kentucky. Coach, thank you very much for being here. And I know that's something you've worked hard to do to make sure that not only you have a lot of success on the field, but your players have success off the field. So I presume you'll be watching the draft tonight. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Always good to be on with you and spend some time. Excited for our players. It's going to be a busy couple days. These guys have worked extremely hard, so it's all good. It'll be a fun night, and had an opportunity to talk with Jamin earlier today, and, you know, as you can imagine, he's a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous, but he's done all the work. He's done things right, and he's going to be in a good position no matter where he ends up tonight.
And Coach, I know the most important thing is to make sure your players are taken care of, but I'm sure as you watch tonight, especially in that first round, you're going to see a lot of familiar names. I mean, it's extraordinary how many SEC players are going to be taken early, a lot of them from Alabama, but that's not the only school. And I guess when you don't hear it very often anymore when somebody may take a shot at the SEC about maybe not doing this or that. All they have to do is watch tonight to find out how tough the league is, don't they?
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, there's no question. As you know, everybody in this league, the recruiting is incredible. But even, you know, more importantly, that probably doesn't get talked enough about is just the player development. And believe me, that's no knock on any team. There's some great programs, some that I'm very familiar with across the country that do things right. And there's so many good coaches out there. It's so competitive. But I know, you know, just firsthand in this league, it's amazing the recruiting that goes on. And then, you know, what we invest in the players and in developing them in all areas of their life, that's something that all of us take great pride in. I know I certainly do. And we have a great group coming out this weekend. I don't know when they're going to be picked, but I can promise you there's some great players. And more importantly, great individuals that are going to help some rosters here throughout the next 3 days.
Talking to Coach Mark Stoops, Coach, let's talk about where your program is. And we had these conversations years ago when they were difficult. You and I both remember sitting mm-hmm. in the shadows of Commonwealth Stadium. Those conversations are long gone. And even though this year was strange for everyone, how comfortable and confident do you feel about where this program is and where you could possibly go in the future?
Yeah, I feel more confident right now than I ever have in the program. And that doesn't mean it's going to automatically translate to more wins. We have to go play the games. We have a lot of work to do between now and then. But I feel very, very good about where our program is, the way we're recruiting right now. The class that we have, you know, with this, you know, next upcoming signing class is going to be, you know, hopefully the best in school history. And, the players that we have in our program, and that's talked a lot about, the development that we do, but the culture that we have. I love our players. I love our team and our organization. I feel like there's so many good things in place that it gives me a lot of confidence because, you know, mostly because of the way the players come in the building every day, the attitude that they have, the work ethic that they have. You know, we're not, you know, worried about that. You know, we're far from perfect. But we have a group of people that walk in the building that are excited to punch that clock every day, to go to work, to get better. And that makes it exciting as the head coach. That makes it a lot of fun and it gives you confidence.
Coach, it's maybe kind of a funny question now, but What did you see years ago that made you believe you could do it? Because many doubted it. Many wondered, well, we like what he says, but we're not sure maybe it's going to happen. Let's go back for a second and get your mindset on how you went about building this program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've talked to so many coaches and you hear this a lot. it may be boring, but it's so true. You know, just totally staying in the moment and just grinding away and chipping away at it. And, you know, that's really the truth. There's no shortcuts. You know, it maybe didn't happen as fast as a lot of people want. It doesn't happen as fast as I want. But when you come into a program like I did, you have to understand that it is going to take some time. Maybe a win here or win there, you could steal one and, you know, certain things. But overall, just the total culture of the program is going to take some time to build. Some places, you know, that happens quicker than others because there's already talent, you know, in there, in the program, and just may need a fresh voice or a fresh change. I mean, and then other times you walk into you know, a program or that needs a total overhaul. And, you know, so I knew what I was getting into. I say that from the beginning. That doesn't mean you always have the patience that it takes, because we're all impatient. We all want it to happen right now. But again, I knew very clearly what I was getting into. I'd been around a lot of good programs, a lot of great coaches. And so that helped prepare me, watching my brothers, you know, seeing Bob go through what he went through. And really, probably more importantly, what Mike did at Arizona and how close he was to totally taking that program over the top. You know, my last year there at Arizona with my brother Mike, we were one play away from playing in the Rose Bowl. And so Mike did a terrific job. And that probably helped prepare me and you know, really, you know, you had to talk to yourself at times because, again, nobody – you know, wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear it's going to take time, but it is. I knew what I was getting into. I really tried to concentrate on the moment each and every day, trying to build this program the right way, do things the right way. There are mistakes along the way. You have to learn from them, get better. And, you know, again, if you're changing it that quickly in a program like this, the NCAA will be breathing down your neck, because you know it's not going to happen that fast. You have to incrementally do it better and do it, you know, get better each and every year and each and every day. And that's what we try to do, and we're still doing that.
Coach, how many people out there are going through different things, certainly unrelated to what you encountered, but sometimes it does seem almost futile to keep going because you can't really change the outcome. But how did you block out the noise? Because there's plenty of noise, and every day in our society with social media and everything else, there's more noise than there's ever been before.
That's a great point, Paul, and it's so true. Because sometimes, you know, in today's day and age, you know, with the social media and with the way people can create uproars kind of overnight or stir things up and get things so toxic in your program that you can't turn it. It does happen. You know, unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. I think it takes extremely strong leadership from the top, and it takes a total buy-in by everybody in your organization. You better know who's around you and who's with you, and most importantly, those players better believe in you. And during those tough times, I remember very, very, very candidly, like it was yesterday, looking those players in the eye. And, you know, we had a simple motto, which used quite a bit, but I was like, don't flinch, because I certainly won't. There's nothing that can make me flinch. I've been through a lot tougher times than this, and we'll get through it. And I think that's the big thing, is the culture and the belief system in your players and everybody in your program.
Before you go, I'd like to talk about players, because there is a lot of noise right now, and it's involving them about, you know, what they are going to get next and how that affects not only what you do day to day, but recruiting. How are you approaching the summer, where we're going to be dealing more perhaps with NIL and so many other issues out there?
Again, you just got to be prepared for it. Educate your players. Do what we can for them. I'm just like every other head coach in the SEC and throughout the country. We want to do what's best for the players. That's tough. Those are tough questions that people a lot smarter than me are diving into for hours upon hours with lawyers and things of that nature. There's so many different implications and you know, unintended consequences that people need to look at. I know it's not hard for me. You know, our players will tell you this, and it's the truth. I'm going to do whatever I can for our players. I want them to have the best experience they possibly can. I want to do what's right for them. There certainly is a balance that we all have to work through, and we have to deal with it as it comes at us, and that's what we'll do.
Let's talk about the upcoming season. I know we'll see you again later in the summer, but your fans always are confident, and I get questions every day about, you know, where Kentucky is going to finish. I know that's not your concern today. Your concern is building a program and building a team, but as you look ahead to the season, you mentioned confidence. How do you turn that confidence into more?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's what we're all trying to do, Paul. You know that. I mean, I'm not planning on giving up any, that's for sure. I'm not surrendering any victories, you know, so we're going to go out there to compete and to fight and win each and every one of them. We understand that we have a very difficult schedule. It's a difficult league, but we like where we're at, and we've got to continue to worry about ourselves. Yes, you want to have confidence. You want your players to have confidence in your fans, but we have to put in the work. We have to put in the time. We're doing that. We're doing that with a strong winter that we just had through a strong spring. We're improving. Our players got to have a great summer. And, you know, as we continue to do the right things, we'll gain that confidence as we go. You know, lip service only goes so far. And, you know, I always play things relatively tight to the vest. But I do like our football team. I like the way we compete. I like the way they come to work every day. I feel like we're getting better. We're more skilled than we've been. I like the changes that we've made offensively. So things are moving in the right direction, but we just got to continue to control the things that we can, and good things are going to happen to our program.
Always great to talk to Coach Mark Stoops of the University of Kentucky. Coach, have a great spring. Hope to see you soon, and we really appreciate you coming by today.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, Paul.
You got it. Coach Mark Stoops, always a fantastic conversation. And we are coming back with much, much more of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. Your phone calls are welcome at 855-242-7285. And Sean is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I was going to get your thoughts on tonight's draft. If you think it's going to go according to what the experts are saying, or do you see anything, I don't know if you want to call it a dark horse move or anything like that, but I just want to get your thoughts on that. Should be a lot of SEC players taken in the first round like in years past, so just want to get your thoughts on it. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the news late this afternoon that, and this is not a surprise, that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, it could affect things, or it's simply – could settle there and see where everybody lands, and then you could see a trade after that. That's the story of the day, other than Tebow. And we mentioned at the very beginning, let me make sure the audience hears this, that Tim Tebow, according to several reports, has worked out with the Jacksonville Jaguars. One report from Ian Rapoport says that there's a feeling among NFL people that he could sign. He has not played a down in the NFL, I don't think, since the 12 season. If I remember correctly, in 13, he made it to the final cut with New England, and then in 15, he made it to the final cut with Philadelphia. But he has not played in the league in, what is that, eight years. He has obviously been doing television in the interim, and then has spent 3 years in the farm system of the New York Mets. So that is certainly a very big story. So that's not going to affect the draft. Might preclude the Jaguars later on from taking a tight end, but it probably won't affect them, at least tonight. Let's get back to the calls. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. I got cut off earlier. My second part of my question, we were talking about Tebow, but what I was wondering is, has anybody ever taken all the Mel Kiper, what's the other guy there?
McShay.
McShay and all the other guys that do these, before the draft, they have their mock draft, and actually compare to see how they actually end up doing.
I'm sure they have. There are people that do that for the NCAA tournament, for everything else, for per day. I mean, there's somebody out there doing that for everything.
Yeah, I when I was waiting, to get on, they flashed the top 10 from Mel Kiper on ESPN on the thing. I took a picture of it because you can't find it anywhere. I can't find it on the internet or any place. And I'm just kind of curious, how close are these guys actually getting to, being accurate?
Pretty close. I mean, there's a reason why these guys are considered the best and most knowledgeable. And, Mel, I think, has earned that reputation over 38 years. Nobody's doubting his credibility at this late date. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Michael, who is up next.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey. Hey, I'm a big-time Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm looking forward to seeing Patrick Surtain get drafted by the Cowboys in the 10th pick in the first round. What about the other players in Alabama, like Jalen Waddle and what's the guy, Mac Jones, and the other guy, Devontae Smith, the highest trophy, but they get their chance in the first round?
Well, Michael, right now the projections are that Mac will go third, and then, who will the next Alabama player be? You have Surtain, you have Waddle, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris. So, I mean, you could see – I would say Waddle and Devontae would be the next one taken after Mac. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more calls. And Jackie is up next. Hey, Jackie.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, I was wondering what you got any thoughts on the upcoming draft.
Well, anything in particular?
Well, I was wondering, do you think Kyle Pitts is going to actually go at number 4?
Let me say this. I don't know whether he will. I think he should, and those are two different things. I mean, I follow the draft like a fan. I do not claim to be an expert on anything at all. So I depend on those who are to make their best and educated guesses. Thanks for the call. Tom is up next in Alabama. How are you, Tom? Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
I'm a retired police officer and a veteran, and my brother's a captain for the Huntsville Fire Department.
Right.
And my brother-in-law was a state trooper, and he was in the National Guards in the 60s. My grandson plays football for Columbia, a school here in Huntsville, Alabama. He plays left end on defense and right tackle on offense. And have you ever heard of Jacksonville State University?
Yes, I have.
That's where he wants to go.
I said, well, my good friend of mine's son goes there, and it's an outstanding school. I've been to that campus, and he will do very well there. It's a very respected school.
But my question was to you, Ford. How do you think Alabama's baseball team is going to do this year?
They're doing okay. I mean, right now, if you're not in the top four or five in baseball, you're struggling, and they are not in that group. Thanks for the call.
Hello.
Nick is up next. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum, the mouth of the South. What's going on, Paul?
Nick, we're doing great. Thank you for asking.
No, well, thank you, Paul. Look, Paul, John from Florida asked you the same question I was going to ask you about Mel Kiper and Tom McShay. How good are they at predicting the draft, and how close are they? And
think about this for a second. Do you think the most important, influential sports television network in the world would have two clowns doing their NFL prediction, or do you think they would lean on two people that they think are at the top of the food chain?
I think they'd lean on the two people at the top of the food chain.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you this. I saw on the ESPN breaking news a while ago that Aaron Rodgers don't want to come back to Green Bay. What, did you see that?
Nick, that's been – yeah, I saw that, but that is not – that's not breaking news. That's been a story out there for a couple of months.
No, it was just on there a while ago at breaking news.
Yeah, well, my point is that he has been unhappy there for at least a year, exactly a year. Cat Daddy is up next. Cat Daddy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, you looking good, sounding good. I just thought I'd let you know that the South Carolina legislators have passed the bill to help compensate the players. It's now going to the governor for him to sign. So I guess that's some more good news for the boys.
Well, it is and it isn't. This could still be litigated. So even though that has happened, it's happened in about 9 or 10 states. It is not a guarantee that it won't be stopped. We were talking about that in about an hour with a law professor who's very much in favor of that. So yeah, it's good news, but it's not. It's in no way is South Carolina unique in doing that.
Yeah, I know that. I just thought you might want to have that information. But I want to throw this up to you. When I don't know how much money the kids are going to get, but they're 18, 19, 20 years old, and you getting $5,000-$10,000 check for every game, something like that, I think it's going to be a lot of trouble. Because I know if you gave me $5,000 when I was 19 years old, I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, Cat Daddy, I appreciate that, and I hear people say that, but I'm just one person here with an opinion. I don't know exactly what the right answer is, but you have to remember, it is 2021. It isn't 1955 or 65 or 75. Young people have a different view of the world than I did, and you did, Cat Daddy, and others. And I think that when you have to think like a I mean, you have to be an adult in dealing with young people, but you also have to think like a young person. And a lot of young players feel like this is their time, and they don't want to hear me or you or someone else tell them it isn't. And then you simply have to do what Coach Stoops said a minute ago, and Kirby Smart said yesterday, and Nick Saban has said, and others have said here, is you have to make sure that there are safeguards that when this money is dispersed, it's done above board, and that they are careful and responsible and reasonable. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. More on the Tebow possible signing with the Jaguars. We'll talk about the NIL situation and much, much more as we continue right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we're back, and let's continue. Let's get back to the calls. And Todd is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call. Really enjoyed the interview with Coach Stoops. You know, as a Bama guy, I often think about the inevitable, you know, down the road scenario where you know, we won't have Coach Saban anymore. And man, I got to tell you, out of anybody in the league right now, that just, you know, from a standpoint of the type of guy that Mark Stoops is and what he represents, and he just seems to be a real grounded, you know, no nonsense, you know, what you see is what you get, just a genuine person. But I believe that we'd be lucky to even think to end up with somebody like that as a replacement. But really enjoyed that interview, Mr. Feinbaum. Thanks again for taking the call.
Todd, thank you. And I have to tell you, I've known Coach Stoops for a long time, and that's who he is. He's always the same. He's never any different. He's a real, genuine person who had a difficult time at Kentucky surviving. It took a brave president and Eli Capilouto and an equally brave and loyal athletic director and Mitch Barnhart to fight the wolves off at the gate because they were there. And, you know, there was a game or two had it gone a different way. He may not have been there much longer, but it's that close. It's that final line when you're at a place like Kentucky where you have to do it the right way. You have to do it slowly or it will crumble. Just look at all the programs that have tried to make quick fixes, bring in the Carney Barker head coach, and look what's happened to all of them. I mean, Kentucky is moving. Kentucky's in the upper division right now overall. They could challenge the Gators for that number two spot. Some people think. Let's get back to the calls. And John is up next in Louisville. Hello, John. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. And again, my compliments to your interviews. You're always well prepared, and you'll modulate or demodulate according to how the interview goes. I really enjoyed the interviews with Kirby Smith and Nick Saban, and I found it fascinating they had different views on the college football playoffs.
Thank you very much.
And I like the way you probed with both Bill Hancock and Andy Staples. That was excellent. Anyways, I used to live in Ponte Vedra Beach back in the time when Tim Tebow played football at Nice High School. And they had moved over there so he could participate and then go on to college. And just what a great Christian family they are. But my view of Tim Tebow is at 33, I think he's past his prime. He's never played tight end. I think he was given an honest shot at quarterback, but maybe he can coach. I'm not sure. But just as a person, as someone who can influence young people, I think it'd be great to add him to the staff.
Yeah, John, you have to wonder, and maybe it's the hardened reporter in me that it's always looking for maybe the least obvious story. Maybe this is a prelude to that where he comes and plays or whatever, but the ultimate end goal is to make him part of the staff.
Let's hope. I think it'd be an upbeat for that team.
Yeah, thank you. Because I just you're right. Don't ever sell Tebow short. I know I'm reading from the book of cliches about Tim Tebow. We've all seen him too many times. And you know, this may be realistic. I don't think his age is a factor, though. And I mean, we just saw Julian Edelman and Gronk and guys like that. I mean, they went deep into their 30s, into their 40s. And I think, you know, Tim has had a couple of injuries in baseball, but he's come back from all of those. And, you know, he is probably as tough a player as I've ever seen. So, you know, in this role, I think he could work. And He's got the ingredients. I mean, a tight end is a unique position, but it's also someone that you know can play the quarterback position. There's a value there, and when you're the worst team in the league and you're getting the best player, you can play with the roster a little bit. You can do whatever you want to do if you're Urban Meyer. It looks like he is. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Catherine, who is up next. Hello, Catherine. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. I guess you started talking about the thing I was going to ask you about as far as Tim Tebow. I mean, I could maybe see him being like an assistant coach as to coming out of retirement and playing. And, you know, I was just wondering what you were thinking.
Yeah, the second Urban went down there, I asked some people and close to Tebow, and they shot it down. And then I started wondering. That's why I asked Dan Mullen the other day about hiring Tebow, as some of you may remember. And I've just wondered, about where Tim is in life. I mean, we all reach interesting points. Most of us do it later in life, not in your 30s. But when you're an athlete and you're as good as he is, think about this for a second. And, Catherine, you know Tebow well. He's always done something. He leaves in 13. And I was with him a lot in 2014. We were on a couple of commercial shoots in California. We traveled to New York. We did when the launch of this network wasn't just the day it happened. And Tim and I did a lot of the upfront work for a specific reason. We were the first two people hired. So we spent a lot of time together. And he was able to overcome not being on a team in 2014 for the first time in his life by diving in. He worked so hard helping to launch this. On the SEC Saturday show, he would come in early and do interviews with the players. He would fly to other places and speak. And then in 2015, we found out he was leaving us. He was coming. So we tried that. And I remember, I didn't know what he was going to do. I'll never forget, Catherine, we were sitting in Fayetteville, Arkansas, week one of the year. And it was about 10 minutes before the end of the show. And I saw a tweet from somebody that he was getting cut. And I was really speechless. I was heartbroken because I know how badly he wanted to do that. And I didn't know what he was going to do. Guess what? He was back on our show the next Saturday when we showed up in Nashville. And baseball allowed him to do that in the off season and then do college football in the fall, which he truly loved. And, the pandemic year was odd. Nobody was, doing what they normally did. And I just wonder, knowing that he probably wasn't going to play baseball, whether this would be on his mind. And again, he's in his 30s. He's a year into a marriage, and you start making. I mean, not like the rest of us, where we're trying to get by financially. That's not really the issue. You're trying to figure out what you want to do the rest of your life.
Well, I was already going to be interested in watching how the Jaguars did because with Urban Meyers and coming into the NFL and back to Florida, where, of course, unfortunately, not a lot of people are real happy sometimes with him. But it's going to be very interesting. So thanks a lot, Paul, and have a nice evening.
Thank you. And I'm really interested, especially to Florida fans who know Tim, and everybody knows Tim. I mean, this is, I said one time I thought he was, the greatest quarterback in SEC history, and I got a lot of pushback on that, and one of the most impactful players. I think that can be supported, but that's not really the question here. The question is, what do you do if you're Tim Tebow? And I don't want to speak for him, but he's somebody that is the most competitive and person I've ever met, also the most decent. But he's looking for a challenge, and where do you find it? And maybe this is it. I don't know. But the story should not really surprise anyone, considering how close he is to Urban Meyer. More of your phone calls. We got some lines open right now if you want to get in. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-7285. We're talking about Tebow. We're talking about the draft tonight. We have an NIL guest coming up. We've talked about the playoff all week. We have a lot on the table, and we will talk to you when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And the big story of the day has been, well, there's been many big stories, but at least for us, the possibility of Tim Tebow coming back to football. Buddy Martin has covered Tebow's entire life and even his pre-life. Buddy joining us now. Buddy, thanks so much for the time. And I'm just curious, as you heard the story and as your friends and fellow Gators have heard this story, what do you make out of it? And do you think it could happen?
Paul, how are you doing? It's good to hear from you. Yeah, it is intriguing. Obviously, Gator fans here would be absolutely bonkers if this happened. I wrote a column 2 months ago saying, yeah, I know it's probably not likely, but we can dream, can't we? And I think that this is a situation that seems so right, given that Tim is an he's really kind of a native Jacksonville, although he doesn't live there. An indigenous Jacksonville person, his background, his popularity, et cetera. And the fact that the news to me was that he was willing to work out, apparently, as a tight end. Something that's like...
Well, buddy, let me ask you, because you know, not only have you covered Tebow, you're friends with Urban Meyer, you did a book with Urban Meyer, you've done business deals with Urban Meyer, you know him better than all of us. We know what the relationship is, but when do you think this conversation first happened? And even if Tebow doesn't end up playing, do you think there's a role for Tim Tebow with Urban Meyer?
No question about it. And I've had multiple conversations with Urban, not about this recent issue, but about the fact that Urban once told me when he was coaching Florida that Tim could be a coach, the head coach of Florida one day. So he has the highest regard for him and his football, what he brings to a team, the chemistry of the team, his commitment, his work ethic, all those things. I have talked to Urban about him maybe three times in the last year. As you know, I did a podcast with him all summer before he was out of coaching business, and I brought it up to him a couple of times. And he said, I just don't know what Tim wants to do. And I think you have said the same thing, and people that know Tim know that to be true. What is his priority? And of course, he's got a baby now and he's got a family. I don't know Tim that well. I know Urban quite well. I know Urban Meyer would love to have him in Jacksonville and would do anything he could to get him there for multiple reasons. Now, the question is, has Tim changed his mind? And that's the big question. So, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind Urban Meyer would love to have Tebow on the squad if it were possible.
And just on the can he play, and I ask you, I mean, every Gator fan, you know, thinks Tebow could play if he was 75, but, you know, he's still young. The baseball didn't work out. We only have about 2 minutes left, buddy, but do you think he's still able to play, and what do you think he'd be like as a tight end in the NFL?
I think he could, and he would be okay, and I think the question is, does that take him a viable roster spot? Is it worth it? And all those things. He's physically, as you know, great shape. He's mentally, of course, very strong. I think his leadership is worth something. The question is the head coach willing to take a shot on him. And when I've talked to Urban over the years, he's consistently said he thought Tim could play in the National Football League. And if he were given the right coach and the right chance, he would have succeeded because he's a winner. That's Urban's conviction. So I don't know what transpired in between last summer. I wrote a column about it a couple of months ago. They ought to do it. I don't know what happened. I'm as surprised as anybody else. But do I think it would light up the Jaguar Nation and the state of Florida? And, yes, it would certainly light it up. And it would be an amazing thing if it happened finally. and that the indigenous child to Jacksonville came home to play for a team that needs him now, maybe a Call of Duty. So I think it's a wonderful dream. Will it happen? I don't know. But boy, sure makes good stuff for talk shows and columnists, doesn't it?
Buddy Martin joining us. Thank you very much, Buddy. Great to have you on. We'll talk to you again as this story develops. And it is in the developmental stages, as it just broke about 2 hours ago. We're heading for a break. There's also another big story down in Gatorland. And we'll talk to a University of Florida law professor about that. It involves the NIL, and it's been a big topic today all over the place.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.